Today's reading is taken from Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 to 20, and can be found on page 71 of the Church Bibles. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians, marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long.
Thank you, Caroline. Good morning, everyone. This morning, I'm going to make some people proud over here, because I'm going to talk about how brave the Scottish are. Yay! Yes. I'm going to talk about a Scottish hero called William Wallace. Yes. And now my expertise in the Scottish history comes from the film Braveheart. So for those of you who don't know anything about William Wallace or haven't watched Braveheart, it's a story about how the Scots fought the English in the 13th century for freedom, for independence. And in the middle of this was William Wallace. As you can see, that's from Braveheart, who inspired his country to fight. And now there's a scene in this film where William Wallace charges his army, and he says, "I'm going to use a Scottish accent now." "Fight, and you may die. Run, and you'll live, at least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days, from this day to that, for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?" Now, can you feel the passion of William Wallace? Well, in the Bible reading today, which Caroline read to us, we heard how the Israelites were facing the Egyptian army. And unfortunately, the Israelites didn't have that same Scottish bravery. Instead, they started to complain to Moses and complain to God. And now I'm going to use my ancient Hebrew accent and say, why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us here to die? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You know, being slaves in Egypt was much, much better. We want to be slaves. And you wonder, why did God choose Israel and not Scotland? Or even Sri Lanka? Today's reading from the Bible it's about freedom, how God brings freedom to the Israelites. And all the Israelites had to do was to be still. If you haven't been here the previous weeks, or you have forgotten what has the story so far, we're going through the life of Moses in the book of Exodus. And the Israelites have been living in Egypt for many years. And now there was a new Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who had come into power. And this Pharaoh feared the Israelites. So he thought this, in case there was war, the Israelites would join in with their enemy to fight against the Egyptians. So the Pharaoh, there is the mighty Pharaoh, he put into place a plan to weaken the Israelite nation. The Israelites were forced to work as slaves, and not only for slaves for private masters, but to work for the state, for the institution. To weaken the Israelites, Pharaoh even ordered to kill every boy that was born. So the Israelites were an oppressed people. So they groaned in their slavery and cried out to God, and asked God for help. They asked God to come and rescue them from their suffering. And God heard their cry. He had not forgotten his people. He heard their cry, and God does something about it. God responds, God acts, and God chooses Moses for the task. And Moses, somewhat reluctantly, goes to Pharaoh and gives God's message, "Let my people go." The Pharaoh, he's stubborn, he does not want to lose his slaves. But the Pharaoh doesn't know what he's dealing with. The Pharaoh does not know who the God of Israel is. He thinks he is God, but the God of Israel is mightier and more powerful. And Pharaoh is about to witness it. And after many plagues that struck Egypt, and as the last blow, Pharaoh loses his firstborn child. So he lets God's firstborn child, Israel, go. The Israel's road to freedom is not straightforward, as we heard this morning. The Pharaoh, he changes his mind and he comes back. And the Israelites see the Egyptian forces pursuing them, and they panic and they complain and they were terrified. They had already forgotten all the signs that God had given them. They had already forgotten what God had done to them, all the miracles which God had performed. They had forgotten. And Moses reassures the Israelites with God's message, "Stand firm. God will fight for you. And God will rescue you. And all you got to do is be still." God acts through Moses and raises his staff and stretches it out to the sea, and the water divides, and they can walk between the wall of water on dry ground. The Egyptians, however, did not give up. They kept on pursuing them with their chariots and with their horsemen. But there was confusion in the army, and the Egyptians knew that the Lord was fighting against them, and they started to withdraw. But they were too late. The waters came rushing back and covered the entire army, and not one of them survived. The Israelites escaped unharmed, and that was the day the Lord saved the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians. That was the day the Israelites saw the great power of God, and they feared God and put their trust in him. This is the God of freedom, a God of freedom who sets captives free. The Israelites are free now. They were once captives, once slaves, but now they are free. They move from doubt, from fear, to stillness, to see God rescuing them. And they move on to praise God. Here is a God who is Lord over all, Lord over creation. Just as in the beginning, in the story of Genesis, when God created the world, God created the earth, he separated the water from dry ground. And God does it again here. He separates the water and gives them dry ground to pass through. And the Israelites praise God and worship him. I can't imagine what a joyous day it was for them. End of slavery and the beginning of freedom. This memory of crossing the sea, is mentioned over and over again in the Bible. Psalm 66 says, "In a God turned the sea into dry land." Again in Psalm 106, it says, "Our ancestors, when they were in Egypt, did not consider the wonderful works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled against the Most High at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, so that he might make known his mighty power." The New Testament, the book of Hebrews, speaks of how by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. Now God wanted Israel to be the light of the world. God wanted Israel to bring freedom to the world. But Israel failed. As the prophet Hosea says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me." But God loves his children so much. He doesn't want his children to be slaves. So God sent his only son, Jesus, to bring us free. Jesus came to bring freedom. He came to bring us back into right relationship with God. In one of the sermons, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed." Jesus came to bring freedom. During the lifetime of Jesus, he brought freedom to many. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He cast out demons and proclaimed good news. He said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son, Jesus, has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." God is not only interested in oppressive systems, but he is also interested in freeing us from our sin, from our guilt. Free us from sin that binds us and bring us back to God. And Jesus did that by dying on a cross. And all we could do is just watch. At that time, the disciples, some of them went off, they went and hid. The others were waiting there. They stood at the cross and they watched Jesus die. They watched as Jesus gave freedom to the world. The apostle, writing to the Colossians, said, "Jesus rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom." God does not want his children to be free. God sends nations free. God wants to make nations free. And he wants to make individuals free. Make changes in people's lives. But there's addictions. He wants to bring freedom. I want to read you an account of Bob Light. Bob Light was addicted to heroin for 27 years, And during that time, he says, the needle had become the main focus in my life. Every 2 hours, I needed to put a needle in my arm. And then by chance, he met a man who offered him a place to stay, an evangelist, who told him about Jesus. And Bob goes on, even though I was still injecting, I went to church on Sundays and was amazed at the love I was shown by the Christians. They made me feel part of their family and accepted me. And during this time, Jesus started to show me that I wasn't worthless, but chosen and special. The revelation that Christ had chosen me was the start of my self-acceptance and healing. With Jesus, I was given a brand new start. Within 20 days, he set me free from all my addictions. I went through no withdrawals. My mind, which was confused and totally messed up, had been healed. I have now been freed from drugs for 5 years with not one relapse. Jesus has been restoring everything for me that I lost and more. And that's a story of individuals, where how Jesus brings freedom. And Jesus brings freedom where there are political structures in the world that oppresses the children of God, that makes children of God slaves. And God wants to bring freedom to them. The God of Israel has power over the Pharaoh, who thought he was God. Here is God who has power over all oppressive systems, the all pharaohs of this world who think they are God. Here is God who has power to set people free. Free from oppression, free from addiction. He hears the cry of the oppressed and he sets them free. We now are living in exciting times, living in the now and the not yet. We see glimpses of God's freedom. We see glimpses of how God is acting. But yet, there is oppression in the world. We hear the cry of the people in the world. And God hears it too. And God acts. Just as God used Moses as his agent to bring freedom, he uses us to bring freedom. Here at St. Paul's, I can think of some examples of how God is using people to set people free, to bring freedom. The work of BASI, Body and Soul South India, which was mentioned in the prayers. They work to bring freedom to those who are oppressed in the caste system in South India. Yesterday we had the Fair Trade Coffee Morning, and the Fair Trade works to give the farmers in developing nations a fair price for their goods, so that they are not oppressed and bullied by big companies. The work on Kingston Church's action against homeless. They act to bring freedom to those who have lost homes and helps them out. And this morning, I don't know what you are going through. Maybe you are at a place, it feels like you have been pursued by Pharaoh's army. And like the Israelites, you might feel that you are between the devil and the deep blue sea. And life is not well and not good. But don't forget what God's promised to you. Don't forget what Jesus had done for you. Hold on to that wonderful promise that God has set you free. That Jesus died on the cross to set you free. And sometimes it's hard to believe that we are free. It's hard to believe that there is any freedom when we are being oppressed by various situations in our lives, be it jobs, be it families, be it institutions, be it health. But have faith. God can bring us freedom. And that is what God showed the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. God works miracles. He is a God over all creation, mightier than all the oppressors in the world put together. This is our God who saves us from oppression. And all we can do sometimes is watch as God acts. And that moves us to say, We are free at last. We are free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I want to show you a small film clip. It works. Yes.
Training fleas requires a glass jar with a lid. The fleas are placed inside the jar and the lid is then sealed. They are left undisturbed for 3 days. Then, when the jar is opened, the fleas will not jump out. In fact, the fleas will never jump higher than the level set by the lid. Their behaviour is now set for the rest of their lives. And when these fleas reproduce, their offspring will automatically follow their example.
Escape the circus. The lid is off. Jesus died to set us free, to set us free from our sin and from our guilt. And all we got to do is accept it. We got to claim it, accept it, that God has set us free. Thank you.